Turn your Bibles to, again, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. This is, we've been 26 weeks on Wednesday evening in 1 Corinthians, and we continue working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll read verses 14 through 22 tonight. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. He says, flee from idolatry. Speak as to wise men. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols, is it anything? But I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the devil's table of the devils. Do not provoke the Lord to jealousy. We are stronger than he. We come to this passage tonight, and we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and really going all the way back to chapter number 8. We are talking about Christian liberty, and Paul has been dealing with this time and time again. And in this particular situation, in these verses, he's dealing with the issue of idolatry. Idolatry. We oftentimes in America don't think about idolatry. We think about idolatry as something that takes place over in the Asian parts of the world and parts of the world outside of America. We don't think a lot about idolatry, but idolatry has been around since the beginning of time, and it's something that's constant, and God says that he hates idolatry. And Paul takes a little bit of a time here in dealing with what idolatry is and reminding us, and keep in mind the church at Corinth, idolatry would have been part of their lives. They were saved out of idolatry. And by the way, I just thought it was quite interesting this past week, the Berrys, who family was here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, they were both saved out of Mormonism, and very, very involved in Mormonism and the cult of that. And so God does save people out of every background, but idolatry is something that is, it seems like it's common to the fallen man. It's estimated that there are 33 million Hindu gods. Think about that. 33 million Hindu gods. Buddhists claim they don't worship idols, yet the image of Buddha is everywhere. You know, we say, well, we don't worship. But you go into the stores, into the retail markets, and you see this little image, and it's everywhere, and it's kind of a novelty. You go into people's back, they sell these things to put them in their backyards and on their front porches, and they're setting up idols. They may not understand it, but that's what it is. And what they don't understand, there's people around the world that think this idol is what's going to usher them into a higher nirvana or something, a higher lifestyle, and go on, and so on, and it goes. But it's quite amazing. Shintoism in Japan, and I mentioned we were over there, and Brother Harris took us to the top of a place there, a temple outside of Osaka, and just idol after idol after idol. They had a pyramid of idols, and they were little tiny idols about this tall, and they had put, I guess, little bits of clothing around them. And I said to Brother Harris, I said, what is all this? And he said, that is the idol of every aborted child. Those represent aborted children. And so they can go there, and I don't know if that's something that's worship, but you go up in that mountain, and these things are everywhere. And many of you have seen these kinds of things. And who knows how many idols they have, thousands upon thousands of idols and images. And you go around every corner, and it seems, and there's an idol that people are bowing down to. And I remember being outside of Beijing and going to a place, and people had these long they were some kind of, it looked to me like a firecracker, but they lit them and they smoked. And so they would go up to a statue. By the way, you couldn't get in to see the statue. You could just see it from a distance. And they would lay these this incense there, and it was a time of worship to these idols. So it's quite amazing to me. Idol worship is all around the world. You know, humanism is the worship of idols. It's the worship of self. Humanism, materialism, the worship of idols. The nations of the world are full of idol worship. America is a nation that I believe is also a nation that's full of idols. Come through Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and come by the Wolf Teaver over here, and I see the boats, and I think, well, there's some idols around here. Churches aren't full. Why? Because people are worshiping their idols. And so America's full of idols, but there are all sorts of things. In verses 1 through 13 of chapter 10, Paul condemns three specific sins. In verse number 7, he says, "Neither be ye idolaters." So he condemns the sin of idolatry. He also condemns out of verse number 8, let us commit fornication. He condemns the sin of immorality. And in verse number 10, he condemns the sin of murmuring or complaining. Neither murmur ye. And so these three things Paul mentions specifically. And now he comes back to that first one, the matter of idolatry. And he spends some time dealing with it. He explains to us why idolatry is such an abominable sin against God. Some of the Corinthians were claiming Christian liberty. We can partake of the idol worship and we can still come to church and it's all okay. You know, doesn't that sound a little bit like even 2020 America today? We can have this and we can have a little bit of that, one foot here and one foot there. And what they were doing is getting involved again in the pagan functions of idol worship. And Paul knew that immorality and complaining or murmuring were all associated with idolatry. You do some studies on this matter and you'll find that immorality is oftentimes associated with idol worship. You'll find, and people fall into that. And so Paul knew these kinds of things. And he says out of verse number 14, we read the text, he says, flee from idolatry. Flee from it. Just get away from it. Stay away from it. He mentions early in the chapter, or in 1 Corinthians in the book, he says, flee fornication. Now here says, flee idolatry. Paul is giving the truth, but he's doing it in love. Understand what he says to them. He says, my dearly beloved. You know, when we give the people truth, we are to give it to them in love. And if we withhold truth from them, then we really don't love them. People say, well, you're just being mean. You fundamentalists and you Baptists, you're just a bunch of legalists and you're this and you're that. You know, if we preach the Bible, which we should and which we desire to do and which we try to do, we're not being legalists. We are loving people. When we're warning people that there's a judgment to come, we're warning people that the wages of sin is death. That's not mean. That's Bible, and that's love. And God calls us to love, and God calls us to do these kinds of things. And he says, my dearly beloved, Paul is giving guidance to young Christians about how to live life in a godless world. How to live life in a godless world, and he's helping them and encouraging them to do the right thing. Paul gives instruction in this passage that is simple. He gives instruction that's scriptural. He gives instruction that's logical and easy to understand, and he wants to help them grow in grace. Idolatry is something that every Christian ought to flee from. Now, again, we think about idol worship as being those people over there. But this is truth that comes to us in 2020 America. And so something we are to be aware of. Idolatry is a place of danger that needs to be fled from, not engaged in. Now, what is idolatry? Idolatry is worshiping something other than the true God in the true way. Idolatry is worshiping something other than the true God in the true way. You know, even today we have people that say they worship the true God, but they worship Him in the wrong way. Worshiping Him in the wrong way. This again is idolatry. We have churches that say, well, I like this or I like that, and I feel more comfortable with that genre of music, or I feel more comfortable with that specific type of, quote, ministry, or whatever you want to call it. This is, again, it falls back and it falls very closely to this issue of idol worship. We may be worshiping in our minds the Lord, but we're doing it in the wrong way. And oftentimes, I believe we bring in the world's mindset of what worship is. We bring in the worldly context of, quote, worship. And so, therefore, we're not really worshiping God. We're worshiping what we like. We're worshiping our own desires and our own directions and this kind of thing. Idol worship is worshiping something other than the true God in the true way. Idolatry is not the absence of worship. It's the worship of the wrong thing. And again, in the wrong way. God hates the sin of idolatry because it strikes at the very character of who God is. Strikes at the very character of who God is. Idol worship denies the character of God, and it attributes deity to another false god. It attributes deity to another god who is a false god. It's interesting when you look in your Bibles, notice the times it's speaking of idol worship, calling them gods. It's the little g. But it's not the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. Idolatry seeks to rob God, to rob from God His rightful place. It seeks to set another above the one and only true God. Idol worship maligns the character of God. It attributes the goodness of God to another. Well, God... they say that God did this for me, or this God did that for me, this God protected me here. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Idol worship seeks to bring God down to man's level. And really, that's what it's about. Seeks to bring God down to man's level. Idol worship uses fear to control. All idol worship is satanic in its origin. All idol worship is satanic in its origin. You remember Lucifer. There it all began. I will be like the Most High God. And so it's always satanic in its origin. Leviticus 19 and 4. Turn ye not unto idols, or make to yourselves molten gods, little g, for I am the Lord your, capital G, God. I am the Lord your God. He says, don't do these kinds of things. Idolatry is making a god out of something that is not a god. Now, idolatry requires servitude from the people. And that servitude that idolatry requires keeps us from serving the one and true living God. I just saw just recently, and some of you have been to India, that part of the world, and saw a cow. It was a Brahma bull in the streets of India. And that thing was dressed a whole lot better than most of us here were tonight would be. It was a pretty bull, if you could say such a thing. But it was an idol. And they did this because it was an idol. And some of the things that they were doing with regards to this particular worship was, I will not repeat them because it was just unbelievable what people do to go to the worship of these kinds of things. And idols, not only do they require servitude, but idols bring about snares with them. They bring about snares. A snare is a trap. It's a hook. It's a noose. Psalm 106:36, and they served their idol, which were a snare unto them. Served idols, and those idols became snares. Ever since the fall, mankind have had and they've wanted to make God into their own image. We wanted to bring God down. You know, if we could bring a God down to our level, then He just becomes like us. Then every man does what's right in his own eyes. Because God does what's right, and He's just like us and in His own eyes. And if you're a God and I'm a God, then whatever you say is good, and whatever I say is good as well. So who are you to say that mine's right and yours is wrong? And on it goes. That kind of logic. It's circular and it's reasoning. But we try to bring God down to our level. Let's read Romans chapter number 1. Go with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1, verses 21 through 23. Romans 1, 21 through 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God unto like an image made like to corruptible man. There it is, an image that like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And the Bible says in verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up to these kinds of things. God gave them over to that idolatry that they had set up. They denied God, and they said, we want to bring God down to our level. Idolatry includes much more than bowing down or burning incense to a physical image. Idolatry is having any false god in our lives that we look to for our substance, for our happiness, for our salvation, anything that we put above God with our devotion can become idols to us. Anything that we put before God in our devotion can become idols to us. It can be an object. We've seen, and you have seen, been in homes where they have the idol shelf. And some people, even with Jesus, they'll take and just add Him and put a picture of Jesus on their shelf. He's just another one of our gods. But when somebody gets truly saved, Jesus is not just another. He is the only. And true salvation gets rid of all those other gods, destroys those, and makes God, the Lord of their lives. But it can be an object, something made with hands. You know, an idol can be an idea. It can be an idea. It can be a philosophy. An idol can be a habit that we are involved in. It can be even an occupation. A job can become an idol. It can be sports. Forgive me for those Alabama football fans. There's only one in here. Andrew, I think, is only one in here. Atlanta Braves baseball fan. You know, sports can become an idol to us if we're not careful. Whatever it is that has a person's primary loyalty and gives concern to that thing, and we give our trust to that and our devotion to that in our time or whatever it may be, may well be an idol in our lives. It may well become and can become an idol in our lives. Isaiah 48:11, God says, I will not give my glory to another. Exodus 33:14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So we're to be careful here. Be careful. None of us would say that we're worshiping idols, but it's easy for idols to creep into our lives, and we give our time and our devotion, our talent, we give our love so much more to that than we would give to the Lord Himself. Even though God has said this, the world still worships other gods. Romans 1:24, we read the verse. The consequences of idol worship is that God gives people up to a depraved mind. Everybody worships something. Everybody worships something or someone. You know, an atheist says they don't believe in God. Yeah, they believe in God. They've made themselves their own gods. They believe in themselves. An atheist says, I don't believe there's a God. Yeah, he's just simply made himself his own God. Anytime a man rejects the God of the Bible, mark it down. The reason for that is that he's worshiping some other false god in his life. It could be the god of sin in his life. And more than likely, it's some area of sin, and that is sin in itself, but some particular area. He could be worshiping something that's in his mind, ideas again, philosophies. It could be idle thoughts that could be an idol. It could be his when he's given his body and his will, his finances, and even his family over to these things. Notice a passage in Job chapter number 31. Job chapter number 31, verses 24 through 28. Look what the Bible says. Job speaking here. Job says in Job 31, verse 24 and following, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, 'Thou art my confidence,' if I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were iniquity to be punished by the judge." The judge is the Lord. "For I should have denied the God that is above. If I had followed my wealth, if I had followed my knowledge, or what, look what I've done in my pride, then I'm guilty before God." That's what he's saying here. But he did not do any of these things. "If I've not worshipped, if I've worshipped my wealth, if that has become the center of my life, my possessions, then that becomes the idol that he has worshipped." But he says, "I didn't do that." But he makes the statement that that it would have been sin. The world worships all sorts of things. The world, again, worships wealth. Doesn't it do that today? The world worships entertainment. The movie industry. It's worshipped. And people just, they fall head over heels into this thing. The idols of our day are maybe more philosophical. They're worshiping ideas. They're worshiping today the idol of racism. I really believe that. They're worshiping the idol of racism in a world. Black Lives Matter and Antifa do not exist to stamp out racism. They exist to lift up and to worship it. It's become the idol. They've lifted it up and said it exists when it does not exist, and now they've made it their idol. Marxism, socialism, these are idols that people, that men worship. Evolution, again, is an idol. Idolatry slanders the name and the character of God. Now, worshiping any image is idol. Worshiping any image is idolatry. Acts 17, 29. "For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices." That's what Paul says in Acts. God's not something that's made this way. You know, the Catholic Church has all sorts of images. You go into a Catholic church, there's all sorts of images all over its building. People bow down to these images. People bow down to these images. This Shroud of Turin. People bow down to that. And the Bible says that God is spirit, and we don't know what God looks like. And I think there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we don't have images of Christ with us today. Because people would worship that. And the Catholic Church would take that and say, "Look, we've got it. We are authentic. We have all the stuff that shows the pictures of who God is and who Jesus is." And that's what they try to claim, even with this so-called Shroud of Turin. And if you don't know what that is, it's been around for decades and decades. But they say, on this thing, this is the replica of Jesus. And I've even heard Baptist preachers say, "This is what Jesus looks like." And then I have also seen in missionary videos in places like Brazil that they've got a copy or a picture of this thing, and people are bowing down to it. People are worshiping it. There's a reason why we don't know what God looks like. There are people that claim to see Jesus and seen Jesus in everything, all over the place. Somebody said they claimed to see Jesus in an x-ray. They had cancer. They went in to take an x-ray of the place where they had cancer, and there was Jesus in the cancer, and somehow they're going to be healed. One lady in Texas claimed to have to see a picture of Jesus. And by the way, all the pictures of Jesus are always a long-haired hippie, you know. And she claimed to have a picture of Jesus in the mold in her bathroom in Texas. She just needed some Clorox bleach is all she needed. But that's what it's laughable, but it's serious. One man claimed that he saw Jesus in a pistachio nut, in a tortilla. But, you know, that's laughable again, but people worship this kind of thing. People literally worship this kind of thing. And it's not uncommon. It takes place all around the world. Worship of angels is idolatry. The worshiping of angels is idolatry. Colossians 2 and 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. In Revelation 19 and 10, John, he hears a voice from heaven and he falls down at the feet of the voice, and it was an angel. And the angel says to John, seek that you do it not. And he said, worship God. You're not here to worship me. I'm a servant just like you. Worship God. You know, I see statues of angels all the time, everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see statues of angels. Well, these things, and people say, well, they help me remind me of God. No, that's a wrong vision. That's a wrong focus. That makes those things idols. And even when I go to buy flowers for a particular occasion, I don't want one that has an angel in it. I don't want to do that. You say, have you gone too far? Well, maybe I have. But the Bible says, well, not worship those things. And I just know that people have these little statues of angels all over the place. Be careful about that. You say, I would never do that. Well, praise the Lord. Covetousness is an idol. We worship materialism. The American dream. I mean, how many times have we talked about and heard this thing called the American dream? Well, it's an idol. Lust is idolatry. Lust is idolatry. Inordinate affections, idolatry. I believe homosexuality is a form of idolatry. They're simply worshiping their own lusts, worshiping their own lasciviousness, drug addiction, alcoholism, all forms of idolatry. It's self. What pleases me, what makes me feel better, what helps me forget my situation, and on it goes. Idolatry is named in Galatians 5 as one of the sins of the flesh. It's interesting. One of the sins of the flesh. Revelation 21 and 8 says that those that shall have no part are in heaven, or have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, are the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, all liars. And then he adds, idolaters. Have no part in heaven but in the lake of fire. Idolatry has no fellowship, has no communion with God. Look at verses 16 and 18 of our text in 1 Corinthians 10. Has no fellowship. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Idolatry has no fellowship. Communion is used, the word, the communion is used two times in verse number 16. We'll get into chapter 11, and we see the communion table, the Lord's table. Communion literally means, again, fellowship. Fellowship is the, in this particular case, he's talking about this cup and this bread, is the communion, is the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, the Lord's table. When we go through that, we partake of the Lord's table. We, through that cup and through that bread, we recognize, we remember our union with Christ at salvation. This communion table reminds us, is not a sacrament, it does not save us, as the Roman Catholics try to teach. It does not become the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, as some try to teach. It does not contain the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, as some try to teach. But this communion table is a time when we enter in and we're reminded, reminds us of our identity in Christ through His shed blood and His broken body. Any form of idolatry, any kind of idolatry has no fellowship, has no communion with Christ because it does not recognize the finished work of Christ. Does not recognize the finished work of Christ. Idolatry is demonic. Verses 19 through 21. It's demonic. I'll just read verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You cannot. He says cannot two times. There are a lot of cannots in the Bible. A lot of people don't like cannot, cannot. We like to reinterpret God's word that says, well, maybe we can, or why not? He says, you can't do it. He says, just don't go there. Don't do that. It's idolatry is demonic. And then he says, lastly, idolatry offends God. It literally offends God. You come down there and he says in verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Jealousy. Provoke. It offends God. Listen, God will have no competition for His position. He'll not allow any competition for His position. What a dangerous place to be in is to provoke God. Now, again, idolatry. Is it something for them? Yes, but it's something for us too. We Americans have so often fallen to idolatry. And I wonder if that's why our country's in the shape that it's in so much today. Let's get back to the living God. Let's call people. Let's trust God. Let's bring ourselves back to the Lord. Allow God to draw nigh to God. Allow Him to draw nigh unto us. Let's pray and ask God for revival that He would break from us. You know, I think when, interesting enough, when COVID broke out, He instantly took away a whole lot of our idols from us. Did He not? All the idols. Not all, but many, many of them that we as Americans would hold to. Our financial. Now the financial seems to be creeping back up again. So we're latching back onto our idols. And on it goes. Let's be careful as Christians that we only allow God to be the center of our lives, and particularly in every day, but even more so in our day. Let's bow our hearts together.